The following sermon was delivered by Transitional Associate Pastor Reverend Chris Palmer in the sanctuary of Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. We welcome you to worship with us every Sunday in person or on live stream. For details, go to fapc.org. And now, here's Reverend Chris Palmer.
Friends, whether you are in person or if you are online, we are privileged that you have joined us for this moment of worship. Here at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church, we are beginning a sermon series that focuses not just on the things that we resist in life, but we are beginning a sermon series on the things that we are to claim in life, the things that we are to proclaim in life, the things that we are to say amen to. And so, this morning, we say amen to ashes. May I speak in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. From dust, church, you have come, and to dust shall you return. Scripture is a dusty book, my friends. The Hebrew word for dust is afar. Afar. Can you say that with me? Afar. It is a word that is used well over 100 times in the Hebrew scriptures. You might know it. The first time that it is used, it is said that God made humanity afar min adama, from the dust of the earth. The first name of that first human, you might know it as Adam. But maybe a better translation of his name is something more akin to earthling or dusty one. On the cover of your bulletin, you see an image of land in Colorado. Humans are dusty people. We are people well acquainted with the dirt of the world. This photograph was taken during one of the really tumultuous times in our nation's history, the Dust Bowl of 1954. Many years ago, it was land similar to that which you see on the cover of this bulletin. It was land similar to this that my ancestors farmsteaded when they were trying to build a life for themselves in Nebraska. My gritty German ancestors. Their names? They were the Holstein and Van Ilden Fritzes. You heard that right. And through drought and hard winters, their lives, my friends, were shaped and formed by the dirt that they cultivated. Their lives were lived in the dust. Maybe for us modern people, dust is something of an inconvenience. It has a way of just getting in all of the wrong places. Dust is something that we easily brush away when the company comes over. Dust is something that means it's matter out of place. Dust tarnishes the finely manicured spaces that we create for ourselves. It encroaches upon the order that we seek to create in our own lives. And yet I have bad news for you this morning. Dust is everywhere. Everywhere. The dust reminds us that however orderly and advanced we are, however clever and diligent that we are in maintaining our efforts, that we are made from the same stuff of this world, that our lives are inescapably tangled together with the livelihood of all of God's creatures, of all of God's creation. So you too, my friends, Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church, friends of New York, you are also afar min adama, dust of the earth. And scripture, especially the scripture that Reverend Natalie read for us this morning, in sometimes an annoyingly common way, it likes to remind us of this fact. The scripture that Reverend Natalie read for us says that God remembers that we are the dust of the world. That God remembers that our creaturely days are like grass, growing and then fading, colorful and then dimming. And so it's easy to read Psalms like this and to wonder if scripture just kind of has a sadistic intention of reminding us of our own mortality. But I'm not so sure if that's how we should read these words this morning. I wonder if the scriptures remind us of our own dustiness for another reason. You see, I think there is a simple and yet loaded question in the back of the psalmist's head this morning. I think he asks us this question: where do you put your glory? Where do you put your glory? You see, I can remember the first time, at least I think this was the first time, that I asked this question in my own life. I was working as a seminary intern at Moorestown Presbyterian Church right outside of Philadelphia in New Jersey. Catherine, my wife, and I had just gotten engaged on January 25th. We were excited. This was a new chapter in our lives that was opening. The world seemed full of possibility. It was brimming and beaming. We could spend our days, at least we thought, frolicking, swooning through life together. And then I remember some weeks later, we arrived at Ash Wednesday at that Presbyterian church. And I can remember Catherine, this woman who would become my wife, walking down that aisle as I put ashes on her forehead and said, "From dust you have come, and to dust you will return." And dear church, all of the sudden, our immortal and immutable picture of this shared life, well, it just got a lot more complicated. The excitement of a shared marriage, of swooning through life together, well, what did that really mean? You see, I think scripture reminds us of our dustiness, not so that we wallow in our frailty, not so that we become overwhelmed by our finitude, but I think scripture reminds us of our earthly days, of our limitations for this reason, that when we feel like everything else is sinking, or maybe better yet, in the psalmist's words, when we feel like we hear those winds howling and the dreams of our lives feel like grass in our hand just blowing away, there is one who endures. And I think the psalmist means to point out our limitation so that we can know of a God who exceeds every limitation. Our best intentions, our marriages, our dreams, the institutions that shape us, our careers, the friends who cherish us, that sometimes life has a way of prying even these things from our hands. And yet, there is one who abides. I don't think God ever promises us that we will ever be anything more than human, no matter how much we might wish it. But there is something so beautiful about this. Because in our earthly lives, I think it is our limits and our finitude. I think these are exactly the places where that eternal love of God has a way of growing. That we learn to love as mortal creatures, and even the very things that might feel like they are a deterrent to our dreams of immortality, those fears, our restlessness, our longings, our disappointments. What if these are the very places where love has a habit of growing? You see, my hunch, dear church, is that those who best know how to love are those most acquainted with heartbreak. Those who best know how to love are those most acquainted with the dust. And so it's interesting that the logic of this psalm moves from a place of acknowledging our finitude to acknowledging the ways that our hearts can be formed to follow in obedience to God. In Fyodor Dostoevsky's book, The Brothers Karamazov, there's a very poignant scene that I've been thinking about as I've been meditating on these verses for today. This woman comes to the sage, this wise sage named Father Zosima. And this woman, her daughter has been sick for some time, and she comes to Father Zosima in a spirit of exasperation, but not because of her daughter's illness. But when she seeks out this sage's counsel, she tells him that the thing that is making her feel a great sense of precarity is that her daughter's illness is making her feel like she is losing her faith. She then begs this wise father to help her rekindle that divine spark that she feels like she is losing. And what I love about Zosima's response is that he does not give her an argument. Zosima doesn't list out the many reasons of convincing evidence for why God exists and for why God loves creation, but he does something quite profound. He says there's only one sure way to regain your faith. Active love. Zosima encourages this woman to go out and to love every person the way that God loves all of us. To go and tune our eyes to see everyone around us, not merely as another creature, but as a beloved friend and neighbor. I love it because Zosima's advice to her, it's not a lukewarm response to her skepticism, but it's an invitation to a new way of living. Active love. Because there is something, I think, dear friends, that grows in the dust, that grows beneath the world's surface. And we are invited to open our eyes and to behold it. And in beholding one another in love, Zosima says, you will not be able to help but believe in a God who sees you and calls you beloved. So Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church, maybe at the edges of ourselves is where love begins. That once every other possibility has been exhausted, once we've realized that the center might not actually hold, that's when we realize that we can hold on to one another. And most of all, that's when we learn that God holds on to us. And maybe it's at the edge where love begins. So Fifth Avenue, welcome to Lent. And even if just for one moment, let the dust in. And in the meantime, you might find that God will not let you go. Amen.
We hope this sermon has been meaningful to you and given you a measure of hope, encouragement, and good news. If you would like to make a donation to support this audio ministry, please visit fapc.org/give. Thank you and blessings to you on this day.